You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi guys, Josh Lloyd here with another Locked On Fantasy Basketball quick check-in. I haven't thought of a good name for these shows where we just do a little 15 to 20 minute segment covering quick fantasy check-ins on three teams and a couple of other rotating topics. If you've got a good name for these little mini bonus shows, let me know and we'll call it that. Of course, this is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. Today, we're going to be looking at the top 20 rookies over the last couple of weeks, as well as a quick fantasy check-in on the Golden State Warriors, the Houston Rockets, and the Indiana Pacers. All right, guys, let's look at the top 20 fantasy rookies over the last 2 weeks of action. This is on a per-game basis. So you see some guys who have only played limited time jump into that, but it is worth discussing these players anyway. Quite a bit of difference to when we did this last week. You can see these rookies and their numbers, they vary quite a bit. I think last week we had three top 50 players. This season we don't even have any, or this week we don't even have anybody in the top 80. Jaren Jackson Jr. is your number one rookie. Despite playing under 25 minutes a game, he's the 81st ranked player, 14 points with under 5 rebounds, and surprisingly, under a block per game, but it's the elite percentages, which is really boosting his value, 50 and 95%. Those blocks, of course, will come back up. I'm a little bit worried about what the Grizzlies are doing in terms of the minutes in that last game, especially where they played him only 20 minutes so they could get Jermichael Green out there, but Jackson's fine. If anyone is stupid enough to drop him, you go and add him, you look at him as a buy low guy and a top 50 player for the rest of this season. DeAndre Ayton is the number two rookie. He's the 89th ranked player. Over these last 2 weeks, only 28 minutes a game, and his minutes and his effort level have been trending down pretty significantly, averaging 13 and 9.5. The blocks are up 1.4, which is nice. The 53% from the field is nice. The 67 from the line, not quite so nice, but he is a better free throw shooter than that. And I'm stunned that this guy just hasn't taken a three this season. He needs to do that, but apparently doesn't feel comfortable doing it. The third ranked rookie over the last 2 weeks is definitely a surprise to me when I did these rankings, and I'm sure it will be a surprise to you. Kevin Huerta is the 98th ranked player overall. He's rostered in only 2% of Yahoo leagues. I would be absolutely flabbergasted if he is not the starting shooting guard for this team for the remainder of the season. He needs to be rostered in every single 14 or deeper league and probably every single 12 team league. Now, the numbers don't look super sexy, 8.6 points in 30 minutes, but the 30 minutes is key. 1.8 threes, over 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 0.6 blocks on 47% shooting. Shit, that is a guy that you'd want on every 12-team league, in my opinion. And he's only going to get better. This is coming on a usage of 11%. As he gets more confident, the usage will bump back up. And Huerta now has established himself, I believe, as a must-roster rookie. The 4th-ranked rookie is Luka Doncic. At the 101st ranked player, his numbers are well down at the moment, mainly because he's shooting 33.8% from the field and 28% from 3. That's really what's impacting everything here. Only 28 minutes as well a game with some blowouts in that mix in the last 6 games. He's fine. He's a top 50 guy. If you can buy low, buy low. If anyone believes in the bullshit of rookie wall or, you know, he's a fat ass body, can't sustain it, whatever bullshit they want to spout, go and grab Luka. The number 5 rookie is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the 104th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. He's doing that in only 27 minutes, averaging 11, 3.5, and 3. It's his defensive numbers which are really helping, 1.3 steals and 0.8 blocks, and he's shooting quite well, 52% from the field, so that can dip. I still think that these 5 guys here that I've mentioned are must-roster guys, along with the next probably 3 or 4 of the next 5 players, I think, are must-roster players as well for 12-team leagues. It's an excellent rookie class. And remember that when we get into next season and the rookies aren't anywhere near this good. The number 6-ranked rookie is Marvin Bagley III. He is the 126th-ranked player overall, coming back from that back injury. Only playing 22 minutes a night, I think that will push up pretty consistently, averaging 14-4 and not doing much in the other areas, which was always the concern with Bagley. Half a steal, half a block, 1 assist, half a 3. The 62% and 88% from the field and from the line are somewhat surprising for Bagley. He is a must-roster player, but it does appear that Dave Yeager is going to continue to jerk his minutes around, and that could just be the back issue as well, because he was pushing to 30 a night before the back, and now since he's come back, that the minutes are a bit down. The number 7 rookie is DeAnthony Melton of the Phoenix Suns, another must-roster player in my opinion. Only 22 minutes per night over the last 2 weeks, but that's pushed up, and I think that there's a better than 50% chance he remains the starting point guard even when Devin Booker returns. 10, 3, and 4.5 assists with a steal per game on 43 and 83. So unlike someone like Gilgeous Alexander, who's shooting 52% over the last 2 weeks, Melton's rank is not inflated by a pretty unsustainable field goal percentage. It's coming from nice assists, good steals, good rebounds. We just got to hope that his minutes can stay up. But again, he is the 139th ranked guy in only 22 minutes. So I've got pretty good faith that he is a must-roster guy. That could very easily change with whatever bullshit goes on in Phoenix. Wendell Carter Jr. is the 7th ranked, or is it, are we up to 8th ranked rookie? 8th ranked rookie at the moment, the 143rd player overall, averaging 10-7 in 26 minutes on 49% with 1.3 blocks. He's a must-roster guy. I don't worry about Portis and Markin and all that much. I still think that Carter, yeah, he's going to be playing high 20s to low 30s in terms of minutes. The guy that's going to, you know, lose those minutes is Jabari Parker or even Portis, not Carter. Foul trouble is his concern, though. And the next player on this list, the 9th ranked rookie, is the Rock DJ, Robbie Williams. The 149th ranked player, really on the back of that huge block game he had against the Pelicans. But with Al Horford ailing with a sore knee, Aaron Baines with an ankle issue, I think you could look at Williams as a maybe worse version of Mitchell Robinson, a blocks streamer type of guy. You know I do like the Rock DJ as a long-term dynasty type of a player. When Baines and when Tice perhaps move on from this team, he's going to move into that backup role. And we're getting a little bit of a glimpse of it now. The 10th ranked rookie is Colin Sexton, the Padawan. He's the 151st ranked player. He is playing 34 minutes a night more than any other rookie during this time frame, but still is just the 10th ranked guy. That's because of his limited impact in many categories. 18.6 points is really good, and he is a must-roster guy. 1.3 threes, 3.5 rebounds, 3 assists, half a steal, 0 blocks, 45 and 85 as his percentages. He really is a points guy, and that's about it, with some impact on free throws. He is not a good fantasy player, but that ability to get 18, maybe even push to 20 points per game is invaluable, and that's why he should be rostered. Number 11 is Ali Okobo of the Phoenix Suns. He's been sent down to the G League, so he had that opportunity to take that starting point guard job. He's lost it to D'Anthony Melton, so I still like Okobo long term. I had Okobo marginally ahead of Melton in my dynasty rankings at the start of the season. If I had to redo them now, I'd probably put Melton ahead of Okobo, who's shown that he can transition to the NBA pretty well. But I still have faith in Okobo, who can shoot the ball well. He can get steals. He plays solid defense. He can get assists. There's enough there with Ali. But for 12-team leagues and 14-team leagues, I think we can move on this season. While Mitch Robinson is your 12th best guy, it's really on the back of field goal percentage and blocks. Two massive strengths, 2.2 blocks and 70% from the field. I think the 18.6 minutes are going to increase as the season goes on and as Fizdale, whatever happens with him and his decision-making on a game-to-game basis. Miles Bridges is number 13. He's the 158th ranked player overall. He's just doing marginal bits of everything. I don't really, unless they go away from Nick Batum, I don't really see Bridges pushing into a 30-minute role, which would make him a 12-team league guy. I think he's more of a 14 to 16-team player, but he's showing enough flashes. Steals and blocks are really nice. Good field goal percentage, solid shooting. I think he's been solid enough for the Charlotte Hornets. The Fort Kevin Knox is the 14th best rookie. He's the 188th ranked player in that time. And yeah, I think he's had some bad games. He's had some good games. But this is a decent representation of Knox. 29 minutes a game, 14.5 points with 7 rebounds and 2 threes. And you look at all those numbers and you go, well, they're all positive. He just does nothing in the other areas. 2 assists, 0.7 steals, 0.2 blocks, 39 and 61 as his percentages. Now, both of those percentages can rise. And I'd be okay with taking a look at Knox in a 12-team league, but I wouldn't have him over Jackson, Ayton, Huerta, Doncic, Shea, Bagley, Melton, Carter, or Sexton. So I'd have him, what, as the 9th priority rookie type of a guy? And look, there's a chance that he's going to start for the Knicks today as well, but yeah, he is, like Sexton, a guy that lacks in many categories. McCall Bridges comes in as the 15th ranked rookie, the 198th ranked player overall. 29 minutes a game. He's not scoring much, 8.5 points. His value comes from defensive numbers, steals and blocks, although the blocks have been absent this season and the efficiency has dropped off. I think he has a chance to be 12-team valuable for the rest of the season with this likely Trevor Ariza deal going down over the next few days. But I'd prioritize him under, say, D'Anthony Melton from his own team. Aaron Holiday is the 211th ranked rookie. He's likely to see his minutes disappear in Indiana unless a trade goes down involving one of their other guards. Victor Oladipo likely to return soon. Mo Bamba, the 215th ranked player. 1, 2,
1-2-3-4-5.
He is a worse version of Mitchell Robinson as well. 1.4 blocks, but the field goal percentage isn't right there. I don't see him pushing into a significant role this season, unlike Robinson. So I think you can leave Bumba, who is rostered in 47% of leagues, way too high. He's a dynasty and deep league sort of a player. And then the next player is the Shark, Bruce Brown. Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do-do. He has found his way into the 226th ranked spot over the last couple of weeks. Putting up some rather impressive type numbers or play maybe on the court in 23 minutes, but it's not enough to really impact too much in fantasy. Now, the fact that the little dog Glenn Robinson and Ish Smith are out for the next few weeks, that does open up regular minutes for Brown as more of an 18-team league guy. I like him long-term with an assists steals type of a stream player. He needs to be able to hit his threes, which he's doing okay at this season, probably a little bit better than I expected, but nothing too exciting. And another guy who is taking some real big steps forward at this point is Jalen Brunson, the 19th ranked rookie. He is the 258th ranked player overall. This is fueled by some big games with Dennis Smith out. The numbers overall don't look great, but those last couple of games are strong. Of course, this ranking is fueled by 61% shooting, which is never going to stick. I think we look at him as a JJ Barreta replacement sometime down the road. And I think that when everyone gets back healthy on this Dallas team, mainly Dennis Smith, you'll see Brunson back out of the rotation. But he's a name to watch. And another guy that's injured at the moment, the 20th ranked rookie, is the Wizard, Omari Spellman, the 274th ranked player overall. He's hurt at the moment. He is a triple one threat. In only 15 minutes a night, he's averaging 0.7 steals, 0.7 blocks, 0.7 threes. 20% shooting, sure, that's not good. And he is one of the most destructive on-court players in terms of on-off stuff. Really, really poor in that regard. With the Baptist John Collins back, Spellman is going to be reduced just to backup minutes, and I don't think he ever becomes a 12-team league player, at least not this season. But he is your 20th ranked rookie. A couple of guys outside that, which are notable exceptions. Trey Young is the 24th ranked rookie, really struggling, a significant buy low, in my opinion. Landry Shamet is way outside that range as well. And Rowdy Rodions Kuroks is the 22nd ranked rookie. Now, I think that he's a guy that's going to jump up in the coming weeks. So that does it for the top 20 rookies over the last 2 weeks. Fantasy check-in time for the Golden State Warriors. They've got two of the top four players over the last 2 weeks, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Curry is back and hitting almost six triples a game over his last five games. Huge numbers there. While Klay Thompson has been able to sustain a big chunk of his value, he is the 23rd ranked player over the last 2 weeks. I do think that's going to drop off for Klay. It's coming on the back of some really high free throw percentage, 94%, which is going to dip. That is his third highest fantasy category behind threes and behind points. I think that by all three of those things have got an opportunity to drop, maybe not the threes, and that's going to cause Klay to fall. I think he's a bit of a sell high candidate. Well, Draymond Green returned. He did just Draymond things in his first game back, 7-10-7, you know, providing that value that we see from him that makes him quite a tough guy to build around in fantasy formats. A couple of the guys who really did thrive with Draymond out, Yunus Yurepko and Kevon Looney. We saw Yurepko get the minutes with Andre Iguodala out. Iguodala's going to miss again with a hip problem. He's still just more of a deeper league guy. While Looney, I think, has a real solid 14-team league value until Boogie returns, and he can be a 12-team league player as a steals, blocks, and field goal percentage guy. That's really all Looney brings, but he's going to get the bulk of those center minutes until at least DeMarcus returns. For your deeper leagues, I think you should be looking at Alphonso McKinney, who has been shooting the ball really well this season, can provide you decent enough numbers. He's not going to have any sort of impact in 12 or 14-team leagues, but it is for 20-team as well. Someone like Jordan Bell, he's just off the radar. I think he's going to be a DMP CD when Cousins returns, while Quinn Cook is basically out of the rotation now that Steph Curry has returned. Quick check-in on their rookie, Jacob Evans, who is averaging 2 minutes a game over the last 2 weeks with one assist to show for his trouble. He is really struggling to adapt to the NBA at this point in his career. Let's have a quick fantasy check-in now on the Houston Rockets, a team which, of course, is struggling. They moved Eric Gordon into the starting lineup in the last game. I don't think this changes anything for Gordon's value. He's the 180th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. Of course, that would mean he is not a 10-team league guy, and he is not even a 12-team league guy, and I tend to agree with that. He just struggles when Harden and Paul are both healthy to provide enough value. He can be a three-point streamer. But really, at this point, like, what's the difference between what he can provide and, I was going to say Landry Shamet, but that's probably a little bit unfair. fair to Eric Gordon. But as another three-point streaming guy, like someone the Rockets are potentially interested in, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I think in 10-team leagues, you are significantly better with a streaming spot. And in 12-team leagues, I would rather take a flyer on D'Anthony Melton than Eric Gordon at this point. Harden has dipped a little bit over the last couple of games, down to the sixth-ranked player. Capella is still a beast at this point, although he's fouled out last game with the Nay getting extra minutes. But Chris Paul, I think we do have to be a little bit worried about Paul, but I would still be buying low on him because 36% from the field and 24% from three are not numbers which are going to sustain all season from Paul. He's outside the top 55 over the last 2 weeks, and he won't stick at that sort of a level. With James Ennis out for the next couple of weeks with a hamstring injury, Gerald Green is going to get a bump. He can become a three-point streamer. He's already hit 2 threes per game over the last 6 games. He's likely to see his minutes push higher, while Daniel House in deeper leagues will be someone to pay attention to as well, who is averaging 8 points and 3 rebounds over the past 7 games. And he should see some of that playing time push up to over 20 minutes while Ennis is injured, while we also might see the Comet Gary Clark back in the mix for a defensive stats streamer for deeper leagues. Not much else to talk about. Isaiah Hartenstein out of the rotation now with Nene back. Michael Carter-Williams doing absolutely nothing. While PJ Tucker, I think it's pretty clear he's not anywhere near a 12-team league guy. Really just a steals type of streamer player on this Rockets squad. Fantasy check-in time for the Indiana Pacers now. They've been without Victor Oladipo for the last 2 weeks, but it looks like a return is imminent for Vic, and that's going to impact the value of quite a lot of guys. We've seen Darren Collison be the 20th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. In large parts, he's averaging 32 minutes, which he wasn't before Oladipo got hurt. He's averaging 8 assists per game as well, which of course he wasn't when Oladipo got hurt, and 2.2 steals, really taking a lot of Oladipo's value there. That's going to drop, and I think he won't remain a 12-team league guy all season. But for now, he is a clear ad. Miles Turner also really putting up some big numbers. The efficiency's fantastic, 51%. His usage hasn't budged with or without Oladipo, but one thing that has increased are his rebounds. He's averaging 14 and 10 over the last 6 games with 3.2 blocks. The rebounding is maybe the only thing I can see dipping when Oladipo returns. Everything else, he's got a chance of keeping up, but if those blocks fall, then his ranking tumbles. Thad Young also putting up some strong numbers. He is a really strong steals guy, but that 53% from the field is something that I don't expect to continue long-term from Young, averaging 13 and 7 at the moment. And I do think, again, when Oladipo returns, it pushes guys like Bojan Bogdanovic and Doug McDermott up to the power forward position a little bit more, and that might impact the 32 minutes a night that Young is playing. So for now, he's fine to roster, no doubt about it. I'm just not sure that that will stick. Bogdanovic, also a top 100 player, averaging 20 points on 49% shooting. He does nothing else. So when the usage drops, which I believe it will when Oladipo returns, especially the free throw attempts where he's getting 5.2 free throws a game, which is massive. That just means he's got the ball in his hand more. He's driving to the rim more. And when Oladipo's around, he just doesn't have those same opportunities. We saw this last season so many times with Bogdanovic. When Collison went down, his free throw rate would increase. This season, when Oladipo goes down, his free throw rate increases. When everyone's back, he moves down that ball handling pecking order, and it impacts his overall value. So for now, the scoring and the threes are nice. The free throw impact is really good for Bogdanovic, but will it stick? That's the big question. Tyreke Evans, even with Oladipo out, he's barely holding on to 12-team league value, so you can consider him pretty expendable in those formats. Corey Joseph, also after a decent start to the season, he's showing exactly who he is, not a good fantasy player, and probably more of a 16-team league guy. Closer to 16 teams than he is to 12-team leagues. Aaron Holiday's shown some burst as well, but he's likely to fall back out of the rotation when Vic returns. And that'll do us for another of these yet unnamed Locked On Fantasy Basketball quick hitters. Follow me on Twitter at @redrock_beeble, and make sure you're subscribing so you never miss an episode on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.